I just want to take a few minutes with you this evening just to really close out what you have heard today. I have just really been moved by the testimonies from our brothers and sister from the North Jersey campus. Man, wow. Thank you for just speaking so honestly and openly. You've heard us use this phrase for those of you that are a part of our family here, real people, real stories. And that's because of a real Jesus, real story. And praise God. I just feel led just to just share with you just really where God has been just dealing with me and my heart. And it just furthermore, hearing these testimonies, the Lord was just like, just keep it simple. And it's believe. That's it. It's believe. It's believe in a Savior. It's believe in someone named Jesus Christ who came down on earth. He is the Son of God. He's God's Son. And he came down on earth for you and I. It was one plan, one mission, one thing, and that was to save you. To save you and I from sin. You know, it's really a powerful thing to think about, but at the same time, it's amazing how quickly we can doubt something that's so powerful, something that's so true, something that just has, it's good news. I mean, we're quick to react to bad news. We're quick to believe it. It's the way when Elder Jerry walked up and immediately told you that there's a possibility that we'll get 30 inches, instantly the reaction was, whoa, whoa. We don't doubt for a second that we can get 30 inches. But for some reason, when it's time for good news, we've got questions. Or we're not quite sure, can it really be true? There was a young man, he was a disciple of Jesus. His name was Thomas. When Jesus died on the cross, he rose again on the third day. It's the greatest miracle of all time. And when he rose again on the third day, he rose again, and he being the Son of God in this miraculous experience that these disciples faced, when he died, they had all gathered in this particular room. They had followed Jesus for about 3 years. But when he died, so quickly there was doubts, questions, fear, not sure, where is he now? And he rose again on the third day. And at a certain point in that day, he showed himself to about 10 of these guys, right? Maybe there was a few more, but this young man, Thomas, wasn't there at that particular day. He comes and just shows up. They were shut away in his room. The door was closed, and he just shows up in the room. He's alive. And he shows them the scars on his hands and the scars on his feet. The disciples get excited, and they're just really excited, but Thomas wasn't there. And so what happens is they gather with Thomas, and Jesus goes away, and they tell Thomas, Jesus is alive. He came, he showed up in the room that we were in. All of our fears, all of our questions, he answered them by just showing up. Hey, man, we got good news. Jesus is alive. He is the Savior. And the Bible tells us that Thomas responded. I mean, here he is in the company of these brothers, these men that he had been hanging out with for the last 3 years. You would think that Thomas could trust them with some good news. But oh, man. You see, if they'd come in and said, you know, Thomas, he died, but he didn't resurrect from the grave. Thomas probably would have said, I told you so. I knew it. But when they came with good news, as well as he knew them, He still said, I don't believe it. Matter of fact, he went on to say, unless I see the marks, unless I see the scars, and unless I can actually touch the holes in his hands, and if I can touch the holes in his side, that's the only way that I'll believe. And you know, still today, we'll set our own conditions as to how we want to believe. If the conditions are right for me, then I'll believe. And while you and I are still trying to sort out the conditions as to whether and when and how we'll believe, God sent his son to die for us because it was an unconditional love for you and I. There were no conditions. He loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally. It's amazing to me. But that's it. While you and I are still working out the conditions as to why I should love God and why he should love me. And no, you know what? Here's Thomas. I need to see the scars. Because you know what? Outside of a relationship with Jesus, for us, scars are just a reminder of pain. That's what they are. Outside of knowing who Jesus is and his healing power and his love for you, when we look at scars, it's a reminder of the pain. It's a reminder of the wounds. It's a reminder of being hurt. But when you receive Jesus Christ and when you come to understand what his scars represent, his scars create a whole different meaning to wounds and pains. The scars of Jesus Christ represent healing for you. The scars of Jesus Christ represent the love of God, that he would send his son and that Jesus would go to a cross, this old piece of wood, and they would drive nails to his hands and they would drive nails to his feet. And the King of Kings, the Son of God, would die, would endure in agony and pain, would endure the humiliation for you and I. But here we are saying, I'm not sure because I've got conditions. I need to see it for myself. That's what Thomas said. So 8 days later, the disciples, these guys gathered together again in the room. This time Thomas shows up. I'd like to believe that even though he was very doubtful, fearful, not quite sure, but this time he showed up. You know, isn't it amazing how sometimes we can show up in the fellowship, in the community, here at church, and we've just got nothing but doubts running through our mind? I don't know who's here tonight. Maybe you've come a couple of times. Maybe you come quite often. Maybe you consider yourself even a member, but yet, as much as you come, you're still not sure whether you believe because of your circumstances, because of the conditions, because of the things that you faced, because of the trials that you constantly have to endure. And you might be like some of the brothers and the sister that you heard tonight. You're still asking that question, are you real? And so you show up. You show up hoping to see something maybe different than the last time. Here's what you're going to see. You're just going to see that Jesus is alive if you believe in faith. Jesus shows up that day, 8 days later, after Thomas had said, I won't believe it unless I see it. 8 days later, they're gathered together. Jesus shows up. The door was locked, right? And Jesus just shows up in the midst of them. Man, that's only Jesus can do that. They're locked inside. Here they are in this private place, locked away, still maybe wrestling with fear, maybe wrestling with doubt. Thomas definitely in the moment doubting. But no matter how much you and I attempt to lock ourselves away in our own doubt, there is no door that we can shut that can keep Jesus away. You know, we do that. We lock ourselves away in our own anger. We lock ourselves away in our own bitterness. We lock ourselves away in our own sin. living a life of disobedience and wickedness. And we think that things that we're doing and the way we're thinking, the way we're living is all held private. Jesus sees, he sees all things. And you know what? He shows up even when we've locked ourselves away in our own mess. We can't shut him away. You can't shut Jesus away tonight. He'll show up. He's here tonight. You're in the right place and he's here tonight. And Jesus is alive and he has such a love for you that he won't stand on the other side of the door. He shows up and behold, he knocks on your door and he wants you to let him in. And he'll keep on knocking. And just like this story, he really doesn't need you to unlock the door. He can just step in if he wants to. And I believe that Jesus is stepping into your mess tonight. He steps in and reveals himself. And he calls out Thomas. Like maybe he's calling on you right now tonight. He knows your name. You're not just another face here tonight. He knows your name. He knows how you've been living behind closed doors. He knows what your private life looks like. He knows the questions that are running through your mind right now. He knows the feeling of loneliness that you have right now, and he calls your name tonight. He knows that you've been hurt over and over and over again, and he's calling your name because he loves you. He knows that you're desperate for change. Well, your change is here tonight. It's in Jesus Christ. He's calling your name. Jesus is alive and he shows up before Thomas and he says, Thomas, Jesus doesn't have to do this, but he does it because he loves Thomas. He loves him just as much as he showed himself to the other guys 8 days. You're not left behind. Jesus wants to show himself to you tonight. You're not left behind. You're not too late. You don't have to feel like you're the one ashamed tonight, feeling guilty because you're the one that's doubting. Your doubt is not too big for Jesus to come in and change your life and bring you to a place where tonight you will believe. It is not too big for God to handle. He's God. He went to the cross, he died, and he rose again on the third day. Nobody else can do that but Jesus Christ. And he's so kind and so gentle and so patient with you and I that he would come to the doubting Thomas and he would show himself. All right, Thomas, you wanted to see the scars. Your doubt doesn't scare me away. I love you. I know you've made conditions in order to believe. Here I am. Here are my scars. Now, go ahead. I wasn't there, but I know all things. I know what you were thinking. I know, Thomas, 8 days ago you told them that unless you touched the scars, that you would believe. I know what you're thinking. I know you've got questions. Well, come touch the unconditional love that I have for you since you have so many conditions. Touch my grace. Touch my faithfulness. Come touch my mercy. Put your hands in scars, Thomas. Go ahead. Put your hand. Reach out your hand, Thomas. That's what he said. Reach out your hand. Put your hand in my side. See, God is so faithful that even in his resurrection, that this big wound would remain. That way you and I will always be able to know that Jesus Christ can identify with your suffering. He suffered for you. Put your hand in my side, Thomas. The wound is there. But this is not a wound that I look at and say, ah, oh, how ugly is this wound. The wound that Jesus has, oh, how beautiful his grace is for you and I. Put your hand in there, Thomas. And he does. He puts his hand right there where the Roman soldier speared Jesus into the side, where blood and water came out. The very blood that was shed on the cross. The very blood of Jesus that has washed our sin away. The very blood that was shed. It came out. Blood and water came out. This happened. This blood that was shed was for you and I. He went to the cross. His blood was shed on the cross. We don't have to bleed. Jesus bled for us. And his blood washes us and makes us clean from our mess. That's the Savior of Jesus. Put your hand in there, Thomas. And Thomas then cries out after that. Oh, Lord God. Cries out. In that moment, he believes. And Jesus asks him, do you believe because you've touched the scars? Blessed will those be who believe in me without having to see. Now, that word that Jesus said after he asked Thomas, that word is for you and I. But the question is for you too as well. The question he asked Thomas. If the conditions are right, will you believe? Or will you believe in faith what I did for you on the cross? Faith in me. Faith. Here it is. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. This is what that means to me simply. The substance is the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood shed for me. It's the evidence of my Father's love for me. My hope is in Jesus. That's my faith. That's my faith. That if I would just believe in Jesus, my conditions and my doubts just complicate things. Jesus made it very simple. If you just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Let me say that again. Because maybe this is first time news for some of you. Maybe some of you have been just, you've been coming to church, coming to church, coming to church. If I come to church enough times, maybe I'll begin to really understand what everybody believes in. The songs feel so good. Worship time and prayer time. No, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised his son Jesus from the dead, you will be saved from sin. You will be saved from the bondage and the chains that have held you down in wickedness. You'll be saved from it. You see, it's what the scripture tells us. It's with the heart that one believes and is justified. And it's with the mouth that one confesses and is saved. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will not be put to shame. No more shame if you would just believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to walk with your head down. You don't have to feel guilty if you believe, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is the Savior. I don't got to touch nothing. My conditions have just made things way too complicated. Just throw those things out the door. Just confess with your mouth this evening that Jesus is God. He's Lord. He's my Savior. Why have I made this so difficult? I've constantly tried to come up with more questions for God to ask, to answer, and I'm not getting an answer back. That's because he's just waiting for you to confess to him that his son is the Savior. That's it. That's good news. Some of us have really drafted up our own plan as to how serious and how I'm going to get really into God if just everything starts to line up. And coming to Times Square Church is just a part of your plan to see everything line up. You've got all these conditions. God's not listening to our conditions. He knows your heart. He's faithful. He loves you. But the one thing that will save you is if you confess that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You know something so awesome? When he showed up in that room, he said something when he made that grand appearance, whether he found a key just to simply unlock the door or whether he just appeared in the room. But he said, peace unto you. Peace be to you. You know, my hope, my prayer is that when you walk out these doors tonight, that you have great peace. The very peace that Jesus said that night. He said something earlier to his disciples prior to that time that he showed up. You know, he said this. He said, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. And he said to them, it's not like the world will give you peace. This is not the type of peace that the world gives you. Not my peace is a lot different. You heard testimonies tonight about people my brothers and sisters, they shared about peace that they were searching for. Different things that just kind of calm their nerves, right? Drugs, alcohol, sexual perversion. We know of these things. All of you that are here in this church, all of these things that we attempt to do to have some type of peace, but that's the world's peace, and it's only temporary. It might last you a few minutes, but that's it. And this is why Jesus said, peace I give to you, peace I leave with you. It's yours. It's a free gift that comes through my death and resurrection. It's not like the world's. And he goes on to say this. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I love that. Because already I know that even coming into this new year, we've got people whose hearts are troubled. And he goes on to say, don't let your hearts be troubled and don't let them fear. Feeling troubled, feeling anxiety, feeling stressed, feeling overwhelmed, feeling just like, Lord, what are we going to do? You know, can I tell you, we reflect that as a church even in the simplest ways. You take just this news that you just received, right? Pastor Carter canceling our 3-day fast. Why? Because for most of us, many of us in here, if it wasn't canceled, we were planning to push through, right? We're going to get out here. We're going to feel really stressed about it for a while. We're going to be overwhelmed. There's going to be some anxiety about 30 inches. We're coming, Pastor Carter. But in the simplest way, this cancellation represents the heart of the Father for you and I who would receive Jesus as Savior. That our hearts wouldn't be troubled. That we would not have to go and walk and live a life full of fear. That we wouldn't have to live our life overwhelmed by doubt. The power of Jesus Christ can cancel out that. He's a gentle God, a kind God. He's full of grace and he loves you and he wants to give you peace. Salvation belongs to you this evening. Salvation belongs to you. You know, our young sister that shared this evening, God bless you. Thank you for that wonderful testimony. That was me. I was a pastor's kid. Both my parents were pastors. I spent so much time in church. And I had all these ups and downs. I had these questions, these doubts. But I didn't believe for myself. I thought as I watched my parents grow and God doing great things with them, I felt like I could live out salvation through my parents as my leaders. So that by the time I got to college, Because God never met my conditions, I believed in a lot of other things, and it wasn't Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want you to set aside your conditions. I want you to set aside your agenda and your plans. And it's time to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Will you stand up with me? The worship ministry could come. Praise God. Tonight, from the balcony down to the main floor, I want you to come down and pray. I want you to pray a simple prayer. I want you to pray a prayer that confesses Jesus Christ as Lord God. If you need to start coming down now, come down now. If you came with a friend who's a believer, tell that friend, come with me. But you start making your way down. You spent enough time with your doubts and your conditions. Now I want you to come down here and believe. Believe. No more roller coaster ride in this church thing that you're doing. It's not a church thing. We don't got time to play church. Confess. You might find that tonight this might be the most simplest prayer you've ever prayed. I believe you are God. I believe, God, you raised your son from the dead. I believe Jesus, your Lord. Come down now. You start making your way. Do not hesitate. Believe. Believe. And if doubt has clouded you from just really fully believing, you come down too. Because I call those half steppers. No more room for half stepping in this faith journey. Believe wholeheartedly. You come down too. Praise God. Praise God. Will you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I believe. I believe that Jesus is Lord, the Savior of my life. I believe that you sent your Son to die for me. And Jesus, you rose again on the third day. I receive you as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I repent. I turn away from it all. Make me a new creature. I believe. I believe in you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Even with my doubt, even with my conditions, you love me. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing grace. Live in my life forever and ever as my Savior and King. Amen. Amen.